Doesn't it feel good to come into the house of the Lord in the temple of God? You know, you're all like precise kingdoms that are representatives of God. Because when they asked Jesus, remember, they said, "Where is the kingdom? Show us the kingdom." He said, "Well, it'll never come that way." Can you hear him saying that? It will never come that way. He said, you can't say it's coming here or it's coming there. Someone can't say, well, it'll be here shortly. He said, for the kingdom of God is presiding on the inside of you. And if you can wrap your faith around this, each one of you is as a kingdom unto our God. And the word says that we would be kingdoms and kings and priests. Literally, the word is kingdoms unto our God. Kingdoms and priests. Well, the thing about a kingdom is it represents a lot of authority. We've been talking about your royal position, your royal stance. And that's not something odd. That's something very true, very accurate, very pertinent to who you are. Because the Lord of Lords, as Zia was saying, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, your God, that's who you're born of. And they that are born of God are born of the Spirit. And you are a kingdom representing a spirit world, a spirit kingdom. And we can think that a spirit kingdom or a spirit world is divine, but it's kind of secret. It's kind of hidden. Or you may think it's almost apparitious in nature. It's kind of like a specter, a vapor. It's kind of there, but it's kind of in my imagination. Well, your imagination is a creation given you by God. We were talking about this the other day. And the word says, whatever you can imagine, God says, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to allow you to imagine whatever it is you want or you think. And he said, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you beyond your imagination to reveal who I am. But the reality, the truth about you is you can see, you're acquainted with your physical structure. You're acquainted with the tangibility of who you are. You're acquainted with your body. So to you, that's pretty obvious, pretty real. And then you deal with different things. You go through the trying of your faith and challenging times. And so that world feels very real. And it is very real in a kind of an unreal way. And what I mean by that is God created you, the word tells us, all things from the beginning, the genesis of time. He created all things for his purpose and for his pleasure. And the word says that God founded the world by understanding, by wisdom. He founded it by wisdom. And when God created you, before you became a form, a being, you were God's imagination. You were the thoughts of God. God thought, God considered, God said, hey, maybe he didn't say the word hey, I'm saying he said it, hey, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. And then let's do this. Let's give them, men and women, let's give them dominion over the earth and let them subdue it. A lot of power in those two words that are very pertinent today. They're very real, very alive, very yes and amen today. Those words are transforming. They are transitional. They transition you and they transform you. And what God is literally saying to you is you are more spirit. There's more spirit about you than you know. The natural senses can be temporary, not in that you become a corpse, not in that you die, but temporary in that they change. Today, maybe you're excited, maybe tomorrow something happens and you're less excited. Maybe you're angry, someone says something, makes you laugh, and a moment's time, that anger disappears. I want you to touch how intangible in reality, how fleeting what you trust in is. Because what God wants you to do is come into the truth, the reality of who you are. The foundation of our lives are built on everything that we cannot see. Your lives are not built on what you see. You compare and decide what you want based on what you see, but the true bond of your life is spiritual. You hope things turn out. Anyone ever hope things turn out right? and the rest of you don't? Anyone hope that things turn out right? There we go. That's spirit. Spirit is the word, it's a derivative of the word attitude or atmos, like an atmosphere, attitude. Your attitude creates a spirit. It creates a presence. And if your presence is, your spirit in God is strong, your spirit in the Word is strong, people can sense that. You don't have to say a lot. They are driven to strength, and spirit is strength. You are more spirit than you are strength, than you are flesh. Love, anyone ever loved anybody? Anyone love anybody today? Anyone love it? You can raise your hand. That lets me know that you're hearing me. That's spirit. And those two forces alone drive us in life. And there, you can't show me love. I mean, you can come up and grab me around the neck and choke me out with love, but that's not showing me love. That's showing your expression of love. Love is God. He that dwells in love dwells in God because God is love. The driving force of your life is God. The Word says God wants us to hope. So He gives us the opportunity by creating bodies that have hopes and desires. And a lot of those, many of those, seem unattainable based on our ability to bring them to pass. It's just like it's going to be impossible for me to do this. So God says, I want you to have that. And that's good. And then I want you to hope towards that. And I want you to turn that hope towards me so I can show you who you really are. See, Christ didn't come because you were bad. Christ came because God made you good. Now, you are not good in you, but we are good in Him. I in you and you in me, Jesus said, because a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. And that's who Christ is. And so what God wants us to know today, to take this time to a different level, your life to a different level, your season to a different level, is He wants you to understand what kind of spirit you are. I'm talking all the Word. This is not, I'm talking about the Word. In the beginning, God breathed ruach into Adam, into dirt. He took dirt, made it clay, took clay, formed a man, breathed into that man, and the Word says, and man, you, became a living soul. But because life was breathed into you, the life of you came from spirit, you really can never die. I'm of the belief at some point in time, according to the Word and the will of the Lord, eternal life, we're going to just forget how to die. And we're just going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. Just going to forget how to die. Wouldn't it be great? Forget how to die. Forget how to be sick. Forget how to be sad. We can start by forgetting how to be angry. By relying on strength, not weakness. Relying on the Word of the Lord. Jesus said it like this, the words that I speak, the words that I say to you, they're not my own. Well, isn't he the Lord? Isn't he God? Well, yeah, but what he was saying is, in this body, I am here. He made it clear. I am here to be a sacrifice, to be a presentation for you. So in this body, I'm going to show you something. And what Jesus did that gave him power in the earth was that he mastered his word. He mastered the word God spoke in the beginning, which means to subdue or to take dominion, to learn the skill, the understanding of who you are and how to master God's perfect masterpiece of you. You're a masterpiece. God made you. How many believe God made you? Well, don't try to convince me that God makes anything that isn't a masterpiece. And the Word calls you literally the body of Christ. And then it says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Or, as you said the other day, the hope of glory is Christ in you. What does that mean? God's glory being revealed in you is because you're hoping in His glory. And His glory is hoping through you. So God, in essence, is going to be revealed in your life in a way you have never experienced and you have never expected when you begin to understand who you are in Him, but also equally as important, who He is in you. Simple, right? That's just simple. And then God wants to give us what we think we lack. What he wants to give us is understanding. What we want him to give us is more. Right? Anyone? Come on, be honest. Anyone want more of whatever it is you need or want? Anyone want more money? Just one? Awesome. You're all rich. Man, tithe and offering is going to be awesome today. Would anyone like to have more money? Well, would anyone like to have more peace? Oh, you came out on that one. Anyone like to have a little more joy? Anyone like to be a little better looking? God thinks differently because God is spirit, and by spirit, there really aren't areas that are missing or incomplete. So the word says, listen to this, now you are complete in him. You are complete in him. So when we say things like we're only human, well, that's inaccurate. You're mostly spirit, put into a human vessel. So you would have to rely on faith in order to express the will of the Father. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. God built you to please him, to walk in his favor. So he's given you a body that could have the opportunities to doubt, but because you choose, and you choose because of understanding. If you want to be wiser, just have an appetite for it. Have an appetite to be wiser. Have an appetite for greater understanding. Have an appetite to be filled with God. Because in the mind of God, there isn't anything that he needs to give you more of. Somewhere in the Bible it says something like that. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, there it is. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to you all things that pertain to life. That's what you're talking about. And godliness, righteousness, truth. Through the knowledge of him who called you into his glory and excellence. Word excellence right there. Greek literally means virtue, which means power. So the ability to execute and demonstrate God's glory and God's power lies within you. You may see someone that seems to do something extraordinary. Well, that's the true nature of that individual, but you have to believe. And believe comes, that's why the word says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Belief comes through an understanding of the truth. And we are innately created to know the truth when we hear it. Something on the inside of you just quickens you, makes you alive when you hear the truth, because you're formed in the truth by the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. There isn't any other. I am the truth, and I am the life. And those are all connected, and those are all virtues that lie deep within you. See, it isn't that you need. Well, I'm going to do another demonstration I did the other day. And how many like balloons? You typically find these at celebratory events like birthdays and things like that. And it's nice to have more than one of these. So if you went and bought a bunch of these and said, let's celebrate and have a party and threw these all over the house, it wouldn't seem very celebratory. But there's more of them, more than one. Why wouldn't more be more like celebratory? But it would actually look kind of odd and messy if you just got a bunch of balloons and you just threw them out there on the floor or on the table or in the air. And these balloons lack something. They lack air. Actually, they don't. They have plenty of air. It's just that there isn't very much. But many, which is what we get distracted on sometimes or with, many doesn't mean much. In order to have much, it takes volume. So the balloon would be, let's say you, one balloon. You've got one little thing. You've got one little thing. You've got one little stick. You've got one, you have just a little bit, like the woman with the one mite. You have just a little bit. But God says, I want to show you how to take the one, because it isn't in the many. Because if the many are represented by the one, and the one is in need of the many, we have a problem. Because it means you're just going to have more of what is not enough. But if you Wouldn't that be fun if it just popped? This is more because there's volume. It's changed. This doesn't represent more. This represents more. This represents much because its dimension has changed by simply filling it with volume. Just filling it. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with wisdom. Fill me with understanding. Those are the things that God tells us to ask for, not more like we look for. Because we end up with more and we end up with less peace. We end up with less and more of what we have too little of. So it's all almost like what you have too little of begins to multiply. And now too little gets more and more and more. You can think that about your job. You can think that about your family. You can think that about your skill or anything in your life that you feel you have too little of. You need more of. What you need is volume to what you already have. That's why God said, this is what I'm going to do to empower you. He didn't say, I'm going to show you a bunch of signs and wonders and miracles. What he said is, I'm going to fill you with my spirit. And I'm going to fill you from within. And oddly enough, when the presence of the Lord came into the room, the word says that the wind blew and they were all filled. And then they began to speak, each man, in the language of the people, or the people all heard them in their own language. And the reason that was done was so people could hear God no matter who or what the language was. God wanted them to hear, just like he said to Moses. He said, I'm going to appear to you in a thick cloud, and I'm going to speak to you audibly so everyone can hear me speaking to you, so they will believe you forever. That's what God's saying to you. I'm going to fill you. So all I want you to do is take the fullness of my word in you, be confident in it, and let it fill you. Let it fill you. Let it become the volume. Let the word of the Lord, let joy and love and peace and declaring the word of the Lord and whatever God has given you to do, you just do it. That's just who you are. That's just what you do. God's anointed you to build a business. Well, you build a business. God will give you as many balloons as you'll fill, but you have to fill them. And what God really wants you to do is he wants you to master the one. The one that masters the present is the one that rules the future. If you're going to rule the future, you have to master the present. What is in your hand right here, right now? Think about Moses. God speaks to Moses and he says, he asks Moses, first he tells him he's going to send him into Egypt and he's going to use him to set the people free. And then God asks Moses a question. He says, what's in your hand? And Moses says, it's a stick, a shepherd's rod. God says, throw it down. Now, in my mind, I think Moses may have thought, in my mind, I get to get rid of this. Since God's sending me to Egypt, he's going to give me the staff of a Pharaoh. He's going to give me a king's staff. But God said, throw it down. And Moses, I think Moses thought he was throwing it away. Like, I'm done with this. So he threw it down. And then it turned into something different. See, God isn't about pumping up your ego or showing you physically what is more. He wants to show you more of your faith. He wants to show you the volume of his word in you so the spirit that quickens you is more of who you believe you are. And when you believe you are more spirit, you begin to see more spirit. When you begin to believe Christ within you, you begin to see more. That's what he said to Philip. He said, Philip, I'm looking for you. I mean, I'm with you all the time, and you're looking for me someplace else. You're looking for me in a different dimension, a different size, a different place. He said, I'm here with you. How long do I have to be with you in order for you to believe? And yet there's someone like the woman that just comes and says, she wasn't trained, she wasn't taught, she wasn't schooled in any of this. You don't have to be educated in spiritual realities. You are made up of spiritual realities, God's. He created all things for his purpose, his pleasure, his favor. You were and you are created. That always remains. But when you say things simply like, God, fill me with who you are instead of, God, give me more whatever. Multiply what I already have too little of. Multiply it, not realizing you're multiplying too little. You're not increasing in much. Much is to take responsibility and master what is in your hands. And God said, Moses, all I need is a stick, just like all I need is your mouth. But you won't believe that. So I'm going to send Aaron with you. But I'm going to show you something. What you have in your hand is the staff of God. When God says, take what you have and do it. The power of reigning in the future is mastering the present. I master today. Today I'm going to master this day with my words. I will bless the Lord at all times. Now to you that may seem like that isn't going to fix the problem. You would be amazed at how many problems mastery fixes. Because when God created mankind, he said the earth is here for you to take dominion and to subdue. It literally means to understand the purpose for which I have created it and you and become a master of it. Become kings and priests unto your God. For the kingdom of God dwells on the inside of you. That right there can drive away depression, anxiety, sadness, doubt, fear, because you're telling yourself the truth. Now you're doing what God told Adam and Eve and all of you to do. Take dominion over the earth and rule over it. See, we want an answer to the question we ask instead of declaring the answer God has already given us. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. No weapon formed against you will prosper. God never said fight the weapon. He never said trash the weapon. He never said rebuke the weapon. He just said it just simply won't prosper when you walk in the favor of the Lord. But I need more. You have more of all you need. You have an abundance of words. God created everything through the mastery of his word. And God said, and it was. Jesus said, that power lies within you. And if you will identify me, Jesus was saying, in place of you, think about it like this. You are crucified with me. Nevertheless, you live, yet not you, but Christ lives in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you're living by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. You know what that says? He mastered love in the flesh. He mastered everything that he did. He didn't have any more than you have, and that is a fact. The word says he took on a form, a shape, just like we do. The word says it wasn't even comely that you would look at him and say, oh man, what a great looking guy. That's what the word says. He was born naked in the world just like you are. Most of you probably born in a hospital. He was born in a barn. There was no privilege that he had. What's your excuse? But he believed God. And the word says he became perfect through the things which he suffered. In other words, he took authority over his body, because when spirit entered into the world and took on a form, it took on the identity of you. And the word says Jesus became sin who knew no sin, so he could put it away for you. That's mastering love. There wasn't anything anyone had done, past, present, or in the future that God could see that would justify him laying his life down. But it wasn't about that. It wasn't about you justifying. It wasn't about me justifying, so we're worthy. Nor is it today. It was that Jesus Christ mastered love in a body. You can do that. And you can't do it when someone's being nice to you. Well, I love them. I don't love you. I love them. You don't love them. How can you know you love them? They're always nice to me. That doesn't mean anything. What are you when they're not nice to you? What do you do when they're ugly to you? If you don't hate them and you love them, then you love them. But until love is tried, you don't know what it is, just like gold. God says, my word is like silver tried in a furnace 7 times, refined, it's made perfect. What is he talking about? In you. When you speak that word, the furnace of God on the inside of you proves that word is your dependency. It is your power. You do rely on it. When something happens, every single day you have the opportunity to be so empowered by God. But what we think oftentimes is that it's the good times, it's the blessing of the Lord that demonstrates that God is with me. No, James says it's the trying of your faith that demonstrates God is with you. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, God demonstrated to them by their faith in his word when they said, do what you want, but we won't be slow to answer you. You can do the same thing today. As a matter of fact, today you'll have an opportunity. Something or somebody will do you wrong. Something or some, you might make it up in your mind. Have you ever had a fictional fight with someone and the event never even took place? You get a little upset. I mean, every now and then, my daughter is pretty proficient at that. We'll be watching a movie, and man, before you know it, she's in the movie, and she's doing things that just, it's not necessary. She's having conversations. And I'll say, sweetheart, it's never going to happen. Oh, I know, I did. My daughter has an incredible imagination. I think it's part of her gift. Every now and then she'll suck me in, or I might suck her in. Yeah, well, if they did do that, this is what we're going to... You know what I'm talking about. And you create this whole fictional world, and you're frustrated and irritated, and none of it even took place. Don't tell me that you're more human than you are spirit. The spirit world, the ability to imagine, if you can believe, if you can imagine a thing that God would do. I remember growing up imagining things today that are realities. Someone believed. God's saying to you, if you will believe, the things which you say will come to pass. Real simple, every single day, you're going to have an opportunity to draw on strength. That's when those things don't go right. That's why James says, count it all joy. This is a time. This is when you see your power. You've been asking God to demonstrate, to show you, to reveal, to empower you. And then God says, here you go. And you say, God, what's going on? I asked you to empower me and everything just went upside down. God says, I thought you asked me for power. What you were really saying is make it easy for me so I can pretend that I have power. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will endow you with power from on high. And this is how you'll know it. You'll be witnesses for me. It's great to suffer for the Lord. And wisdom and understanding makes you proficient at it. And this is what I mean. Maybe the first time something happens and you respond according to the word instead of according to frustration or hatred or bitterness or jealousy. I'm prophesying to you today because God is raising up a body of people throughout the nations of the earth that are going to demonstrate such glory, such honor, such favor, such excellence of spirit. They're going to walk away from religion and walk into the reality of righteousness. And God is going to use them to bear witness to his spirit and his power. I got tired of churchy things a long time ago. As I sought God for wisdom, I heard a lot of different phrases that didn't have any power. They're good manipulators for people. It's a good way to manipulate the mind because people can say, oh, I feel like that too, and I get that. I don't care what you feel like. I care about what God feels like. What did God say that he wants you to feel? What did God say that he wants you to understand? God wants you to be more connected to the reality of your spirit. That's why he said you'll receive power from on high, and the Holy Spirit is coming you, and you're going to bear witness to who I am. In order to rule in the future, you're going to have to master the present. As a matter of fact, the strength of your future is your foundation. The word says, and God formed or founded the world, the foundation of the world, through wisdom and understanding. What that literally means is God purposed it for something very specific. He knew exactly what he was doing, and why he was doing it, and because it was founded, the word says, and it will be forever. I remember a while back, this is quite a few years ago, we were building a terrace, a balcony on the back of my home. And they brought these poles. They were support beams. They're about 6x6, I guess. And I thought, well, those are pretty stout beams. And they said, we're going to put this in some cement, and then it's going to support the upper deck. And I said, oh, that's cool. So I come out, and there's small swimming pools all over my yard. For these little 6x6 beams, they dug 4x4x4 foot holes in the ground for these little beams. Now these beams don't look very impressive, but those holes are massive. Because see, it's the foundation that is important. Because no matter how strong the beams are, if what they're put into can't hold, doesn't stand up, everything's coming down, and then the fall of that house is going to be pretty great because those beams are heavy. It's the foundation. God said, if you build your house on a rock, how do you do that? He said, if you believe my word, not just believe God said it, if you believe it, and if you believe God said it, then you're going to do it. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. No, if you really believe my word, and guess what? You're built, you're created to believe God's word. But you have to stop lying to yourself and telling you that it's hard to serve God. It's a lie. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor, John 14:27, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you'll find rest to your soul. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus said. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I'm easy, I'm lowly, and you'll find rest to your soul. He never said it would be hard. What's hard is when you lie to yourself and believe that you're someone that needs something. You're in need. The word says, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. There isn't anything you need. What you need is to master what you have. God's saying, I've given you what you need, not what you want to see, what you need in order to see what I have for you. In order to rule in the future, you just have to master what's at hand. And to master it means to see it as God has given you all things. I have all things. I have it. You have exactly what you need. God just wants you to fill it up with the volume of His Word. You have what you need. And what you've imagined, what you've believed God for, when you master what's in your hand, Moses, you'll rule Egypt. The people will follow you. They'll be driven to your faith. And God will respond to whatever it is you need. God knows the things that you need done in your life. But you can't imagine that God would not know that or not answer you or not already supply for you, because He set the world up perfectly for you before He put you in it. He created all the world and everything to sustain man, a perfect atmosphere, every all vegetation, gave you all kinds of animals to rule, to enjoy. To rule didn't mean it was work for Adam. It meant Adam was able to identify the character of God's creation. It's called wisdom and understanding. And to be able to employ that into such a way that he had dominion. In other words, he was able to master the use of every single creature in the field and to understand it. That's a whole different teaching, but a massive world of blessing and favor, and every treasure, and every jewel, and every precious metal in it, and the purest of water, the best of food. The hunger was different than it is today. See, the word never says that Adam and Eve hungered for food. It said they hungered for knowledge. And today, it's the same. Our knowledge needs to turn to wisdom of God, what God has said. As Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego said, they said, you can do what you want, King, but as for me, as for us, we'll never bow down to anything but the living God. Don't bow down to your fear. You've nothing to fear God will not only take you through where you're at, but if you will say, God, fill me with the volume of who you are. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not asking you to do anything. You've given me all things. Teach me how to master what you've already put in my hand. If it's a challenging time, teach me to master this with praise. Teach me to master it with thanksgiving. Teach me to master this situation with love. No one, the other individual may never respond to you in the way that you want them to at that time. But if you master love, love will be the master of your life. You'll never feel unloved. You'll never feel uncared for. You'll feel the embrace of God. You'll know what it feels like to truly be loved beyond your ability to earn it. You'll know the divine love of God. That empowers you to show the love of God. That's what the scripture means when it says, as he is, so are you in this world. Master what God has given. You have the power to do that. When I say a thing, I'm going to say it on behalf of what God has said. I'm always going to be able to do what God has anointed me to do. David mastered a sling. He mastered a stone. God said, I'm giving you dominion over all the animals. And Adam, you can name them. Now, Adam didn't just come up with a name out of his head, because there is no knowledge beyond God. So God said, Adam, whatever you call it, God was prophesying to Adam, Adam, whatever you call it, that is its name. It'd be like me saying, tell me what that is. And you say, I've never seen it before. And I say, listen, God's going to tell you what it is, even though you've never seen it before. And that's what God said to Adam. I'm going to tell you what it is, but you're going to name it. And the word says, whatever he called it, that was the name thereof. Adam didn't say something that God went, oh, that's a good name. I'd never thought of that. God knew. And God's doing the same thing with you today. God knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. He likes you where you're at because he wants you to have a greater confidence where you're at so you never have to be there again. And even if you were, you wouldn't know you were because you've learned to ride out the storm in power. You've learned to walk on the water and not be afraid. You've learned to pass through the sea and through the fire and you're not burned. The smell of smoke isn't even on you. Now that's influential. How powerful can you be when you're not able to identify whether or not you're going through a trial or a blessing? What if a trial felt like a blessing? And a blessing feels like a trial? God, bring it on. And that's when you can say, I'm willing to lay down my life. I'm willing to suffer for you. He bore your sin. He bore your pain. He's not talking about suffering and agony. He's talking about laying down your doubts and your fears, your dissatisfaction, your uncertainty, so you can be embraced by who he is in you. You just have to believe it better. Anyone like good food in the house? Ah, there you are. You're hungry, I can tell. Quick story. When I was a kid, we had some land and we raised cattle. And we had just started raising cattle. I look like a cowboy, don't I? Y'all. So we raised, I did that too. I knew how to, doesn't matter. But we had built, and I wasn't very skilled in building things. I'm a little boy. But we built this fence and we put the cattle in the fence. Not thinking about it, cows are big and heavy, and if they just lean against the fence, they break right through it. So we had our property, and right next door to us was a bigger lot of property. And that lot of property belonged to a farmer, a guy that raised grass for cows, pasture, and alfalfa. So our cows realized that there was a bigger, greener field beyond the fence. True story. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, guess what? Gary! Yeah, Mom? I should have said Ma, huh? That would have sounded more capital. Yeah, Ma! Cows are out! Oh my gosh, the cows are out. Are you kidding me? Can I get him in the morning? Son, out of bed. Cows are out. So I'd get up out of bed, go outside, had to crawl through the fence. Have you ever tried to chase cattle in a field when you don't have a horse? and there's a big ditch, and they love to run up on the bank. I know they just had a ball watching me run after him. Like, look at that kid. Let's just keep running. He'll chase us until the sun's up. And I did. What I learned from that is if I made the grass greener in the corral, they'd never leave and look for greener pastures. Make the food better in the house. Make it greener in the house. Water the grass in the house. See, we'd throw them old dry hay. They're like, we don't want that. You see that over there? Why would I eat that when there's that over there? You want guests at your table? Put down a better meal. Make the green in the corral better. We learned to feed them better. When we fed them better, they didn't have any interest in breaking through. I didn't have to chase them down the ditch and out in the field. Same thing in your house. When your food's good, make your house greener. Make your words greener. Water the field that God has given you. Make what is in your hands the best, and God will empower you to make it better. Take what God has placed in your hands and master it with the Word of God. Master it with the Spirit of God. Spirit is attitude. You take on a right attitude, that's the Spirit of God driving you. Spirit and attitude. Spirit and attitude. Spirit and attitude. One time I was studying something and I couldn't find what I was looking for. And God said, reverse it. He said, instead of looking up spirit, look up attitude. I looked up attitude and what did I find? Spirit. I said, that's it. Instead of asking God to give you more balloons, ask God to help you fill the one that you have. Fill my lungs so I can feel what you put in my hands. Give me the power to master what is before me, and God will do that in your lives. This is a season. Today, I believe before you leave these doors, God's done a work inside of you. Before you can step out and the sun go down on you today, something is going to transpire in your life that's going to quicken your mind, and you're going to see God working in your life in a way you haven't seen God work. He said, I have given you all things. You lack absolutely nothing except mastering what I put in your hands. Moses, master what I put in your hands. I learned a long time ago, make the barn greener than the field on the other side. Instead of asking God to give you, they didn't want a bigger field. They didn't want to move. Cows aren't interested in running. They're just interested in eating. And they have two stomachs, so they like to eat a lot. And like to remember what they ate a little while later down the road because they have two stomachs. Just make it easy. Make it green. Be attractive. Be attractive in your spirit. The Word says Jesus had no comeliness. The people would behold, would want to look at Him because of the way He looked, but they had such a drawing to Him because He mastered the words of His mouth. He mastered the attitude of His Spirit by the Word of God. He said, what you hear me say, the Father has said. What you see me do, the Father has done. The things I say, the things I do, they're not my own, but my Father's who sent me. And then Jesus said this to you. He said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Go therefore into all the world. Where you're standing today, maybe you haven't been out of the state or out of the city or out of the country in a while. Maybe that's not your plan. Maybe you travel all over. But the influence of who you are is like the spirit of Caleb. The Word says he had an excellent spirit. And amongst all the spies that said it was different, said it was hard, said it was bad, said it was impossible when they went in to spy out the land of promise, Caleb said, no, the Word of God. I believe the Word of the Lord that the prophet said. I believe what God said. He said, we're more than able. You're more than able. Hear me. God's telling you today, you're more than able to do. When things are going on in your life, going on in your city, we have things going on in our city at this time. Some people have things going on in their family, right there at home. God's given you an opportunity for power that He knows you desperately need. He's blessing you. Because he's saying, look at what you have, and here's what I have to give you. Here's my word. Here's my spirit. Here's my attitude. I want you to rule with it in this situation this way. Rule with kindness. Rule with meekness. Rule with gentleness. Bless those that are around you. How many of you can think of someone that's been encouraging to you in your life? Or they've been a blessing to you? Bless them. Why don't you do something to change their world and see how much God will elevate you? The word says, pray one for another so you can be healed. Esteem one more highly than yourself. See, you have more power than you realize. Well, I don't have much money. You don't need much money. If God has anointed you to have much money, he's anointed you to be a giver, you just keep giving, he'll keep giving. Bread to the sower, or seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. But what have you done with what you have? What do you have today? What do you have today? Even someone maybe that's frustrating to you, some situation that's not going on, how can you make it greener in your corral? How can you make it your land greener? What can you do to speak into the person's life that just loved you? Maybe just kind to you, maybe forgave you, maybe encouraged you, maybe spoke a word to you when you needed it. Maybe just gave you a hug when no one else would. What have you done? What have you mastered that God has already given you? Or do you do as little as you can? Do you just throw scraps there? Who's blessed you? God sent people into your life. God's gifted you. He's blessed you. Who's in your life today? Who's sown into your life today? Who's encouraged you today? Who's gave you $5 when you didn't have a penny? Who helped you? Who's ministered to you? What is in your hand today? A phone call, a word, a promise. I don't like to make promises. I can't keep them. Then you should make promises. And you should keep them. Don't see yourself in a situation thinking that you don't have enough to do what God has commanded you to do. Be a blessing. Extend yourself. I'm afraid I might get hurt and they might reject me. Don't fear rejection. Fear not showing the love of God. Extend yourself. Don't be afraid of rejection. Jesus wasn't. The people rejected him. How do you know what you would have done had you been in the same situation? Would you have rejected him? Would you have believed him? But he did it anyway. The dimensions of your life are going to change today because God brought you here to hear this word today because he knows what you need and he knows what you can believe and he knows you will. So do it. Those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the body. Be strong in the Lord and the power of God's might. Keep God's word. God's word will keep you. You know why? Because God said so. And this is the greatest season of your life. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to pull on heaven. We're going to make some prophetic declarations in the house today. If you're saying, God, it's time for something to change in my life. It's time for things to transition for me. It's just time. And I'm not saying it just in a fictitious or a churchy way. I'm talking about some real things happen. I want to share something with you. Whatever you're in the middle of, you're in the middle of, so God can take you beyond where you've ever been before. That's the whole point. God is faithful to his people. He loves you. He cares about you. He's with you. And he doesn't want you to just get through it. He wants you to go so far beyond it. Do you have a testimony? You know what overcomes the world? Your testimony. Your testimony is the power. And you can testify before it takes place. You can speak the word. That's what David said. He said, hey, Goliath, I know you're big, you're strong. I don't have a lot of brave guys around me saying, we're with you, David. They're kind of hiding back there in the tent, some of them peeking around trees and tent doors, waiting to see what's going down, whether they're getting ready to run because they know If you kill me, you're going to pursue them. But Goliath, I'm selling you something today. The word of the Lord's in my mouth. And whatever evil you speak against me, sorry, it's coming on you, but it's not touching me. I know I've sought the Lord, and He is pleased because of the praise He has put in my mouth. And the word of the Lord says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And today you're going to fall in peace. My peace is going to bring you down. So whatever you say, you say. But as for me, I serve and believe the true and living God. That's who you are today. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. I know who you are because God created you for that purpose. You're standing here today. You've heard the word. You're still here. You're still believing. God's doing something in you. No, He's done it in you. God's given you something. No, He's given it to you. And as you take what God has given in your hands, you'll find God will give you more and more balloons. He'll give you all the balloons you need. He'll give you every stone. He'll give you every position. He'll give you the foundation that you need to build on. You need to say, but this is my foundation. I understand your will and your purpose for my life is beyond all that I know to ask or think. And it's by the power that you have working on the inside of me today. And today people are going to surrender to the faith of God that is in me. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You're leading me beside quieted waters. You restore my soul. You lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Even if it feels like I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because life is with me. You are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. I really like this part. Only goodness. Only good can pursue me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Do you believe that? Shout, yeah. Father, we praise you today for your word. Thank you for your anointing in this house and on these people. God, I thank you that this is a season of growing, coming into the maturity, into the fullness of who you are within your people. I thank you for lives changed. If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, whether you're here in the house or you're viewing, I want you to just pray this prayer. You don't have to understand it all from your mind, but just believe God said it in your heart and say, Jesus, I believe you. I believe you came. You gave your life for me. I received the gift of salvation. You paid for me to redeem me. I receive you as Lord and Savior. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your spirit. Transform me. Be pleased in me. Be glorified through me. And let me bear witness to who you are. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And we all shout, amen. Give the Lord a shout. I like to say it like this. Favor of the Lord is after you. He's pursuing you. No doubt it's true. Favor of the Lord is after me. He's pursuing me. So plain to see. Say it with me. Favor of the Lord is after me. Without music, say, the favor of the Lord is after me. He's pursuing me. No doubt, I can see. Rest in that for a minute. Prophesying this. Things are changing. God's rearranging. Say it again. Favor of the Lord is after me. He's pursuing me. It's all I see. Come on. Say it again. Favor of the Lord is after me. He's pursuing me. It's all I see. Doesn't that feel good? Come on. It's true. Favor of the Lord is after me. He's pursuing me. It's all I see. favor of the Lord is after me. Come on. Now do it like this. Favor of the Lord is after me. He's pursuing me. That's all I see. Come on. Favor of the Lord is after you. He's pursuing you. It's so true. Come on. Acknowledge Him. Favor of the Lord is after me. Pursuing me. Prophesy. Come on. Favor of the Lord is after me. Pursuing me. City of Los Angeles, California, I prophesy over you that the Lord is rearranging. He is changing spirit, heart, mind, and attitude. The Lord, by His sovereign power, will do a work in you. The Lord is going to cleanse the hearts. There is a pruning. There is a purging. In this state that the Lord is performing, even this day, and in place of turmoil and rioting, the Lord will raise up praising and song. The glory of the Lord will fill this state and the nations of the earth. But Los Angeles, we speak to you today. We call you to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You will lay down your weapons, your hatred, and your spite. We call upon the heavens of God to bear witness to the righteous and give them strength and might. 4,000 can fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come nigh us. Only with our eyes will we behold and see the reward of the wicked, for we have set our eyes, our affections upon you. Do the work that needs to be done. Prune the season. Prune the trees. Prune the minds. Purge the nation. Purge Los Angeles, O God. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken, and He is speaking yet again today. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You are called kings and priests unto your God. Declare the peace of God. Declare the change of God. Before the peace is fully settled, God will prune, God will purge, God will purify, God will justify, God will be glorified, God will do a mighty work, and it will be said, how was it done? But the people raised up, and they declared by the word of the Lord, God is doing this thing. This is by the hand of the Lord. Our God is holy. He is righteous. He is just. He is in the midst of His people. So, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in your state. Be glorified in your city. For the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. Your hand of protection, Lord, covers your people. There'll be a voice of solemn wisdom that comes. Even as the wisdom of Solomon, God, so speak. Close the mouths of the gainsayers. Of those that speak and reform their own minds, but reject the wisdom and the righteousness of God. The glory of the Lord fill the streets with praise. Lord, I know you're changing, you're rearranging, working from the inside out. God, purge the government as it pleases you. Remove the leaders that are no leaders at all, but they stand in falsehood, trying to justify what is not just. God, purge our nation, purge the people. Repent them, Lord. Repent their hearts, we pray, O God. And if they should refuse to repent, God, then remove them from their station.
and establish the righteous in position as you have declared. When the righteous are in rule, the people rejoice. So, Lord God, be glorified, we pray. We call upon the heavens of God. We declare and believe. That thing which we pray according to your will and your word. And Father, you bring it to pass. In Jesus' name. And the saints of God said, come on. And the saints of God said, come on. Come on. And the saints of God said, yes and amen. To God be the glory, the honor, the praise, and the power. This is a time unlike any other. This is a dawning of a new thing that God said he would do. And Father, we give you praise and we glorify and thank you for it. Lord of heaven and earth, you are just and justifier. You are the Lord that reigns and rules. God has given it to you. What do you doubt? The Lord has even said to you, believe me, and I will bring it to pass. Now, what would the Lord bring to pass? That you would stand faithful according to his word. Moses, can you stand faithful according to my word? Jacob, can you stand faithful according to my word? Abraham, can you believe God? You are the seeds of Abraham. You are foretold of God. You represent the future, the days that are and the days to come. The blessing of the Lord rests on you. The blessing of God rests upon you and your people and your family and your children and your sons and your daughters. The blessing of the Lord rests on you in Jesus' name. And everybody shout it. Give the Lord a shout in the house. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Lift your voice. Lift your hands. Bless his holy name. Say it with me. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Lift your voice. And lift your hands. Let us bless the name of our God and of his Christ. Come on, there's a prevailing presence in this place. Empty yourself out right now. Fear, doubt, uncertainty leaves you. Those frightful dreams leave you. I pray tonight you lay down in peace, you rest in peace and safety. And the Lord speak to you, as he said, in dreams and visions. God, quicken your heart to what he is about to do. God, make known to you what he is bringing to pass. An excellent time. There are places throughout the world, whether in business or government, and what God is displeased with, he's purging. This is a season. This is not the doing of any man. This is by the hand of Almighty God. This is not about policies or politics, prestige. This is about the will and the word of the Lord. God raised up a generation of people. He said, you were but few. He said, but when you believe my word, he said, I gave you victory. And the victory God gives isn't the one we seek for. The victory God gives is the one he wills and deems righteous and right. And that's what blesses the people and blesses the nation. So I speak blessing. This is our home. This is where we live. And we're going to speak with a masterful presence of praise and thanksgiving. And declare that God bring the blessing of righteousness into the state of California. That God would be glorified in our nation, in our state. That the word of the Lord would be heard. Also in churches.
that they will have to bear witness to the truth. True shepherds who watch over the people, who feed the people, who care for the people, who love the people, who are not afraid to tell the truth, have no ego to protect. God, so purge your shepherds. God, so raise up your people, our children, God. Your word declares that the angels of God come to serve in purpose for the righteous. So bear up the children, God, we pray. Secure them, spirit, body, and mind. Raise up from the youth, O God, a voice of righteousness and a voice of truth. They'll not be afraid like those that were before them. And so let that seed and let that boldness come through their parents, their moms, their dads, their uncles, their aunts, their brothers, their sisters, their grandmothers, their grandfathers. Let the boldness of the Spirit rise up. Let the fire of God burn in you. Even as it burned before Moses, so let the fire of God burn in you. This time belongs to you, Lord, and we worship you. As an offering of praise, we come before you and we worship you. We love you and we thank you, my God. God is present with you. God's heard your prayers because he is faithful. He will answer you because he is faithful. He will lead you because he is present and he is faithful. He will direct you because of his steadfast love. He has blessed you because of his unfailing love. He is leading you because of his unfailing love. He's covering you because of his unfailing love. He will make those agreeable with you according to his will because of his unfailing love. The Lord will lead you in peace because of his unfailing love, and the Lord will bring you good news because of his unfailing love. One more time, give the Lord praise.